Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
We'll commence our fasting. So every message, every word of exhortation, everything we'll be listening to will be along the lines of this emphasis. Theme of our meeting is break forth. So, the theme of the month, amen. So let's read Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I will read from verse 1. I'll take a few verses and then we'll teach from there so that we can be out of here very early. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. So he was fasting. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now let's jump to verse 13 and 14. And when the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions all about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Okay, Yomi, please confirm. Are we recording? Hallelujah. Now, let's start our journey from here. Now, when we speak about waiting upon the Lord, when we talk about, we hear a lot about fasting, you know, and this afternoon I was thinking, you know, when we were much younger, for those of us that attended traditional churches or the happening churches then, one of the things that was very significant in our churches then was that, especially if you belong to, even if you are Baptist, maybe usually around say the white garment churches, Baptist, most of those churches had a common theology around the subject of fasting. Most churches, that the ones our parents attended, had a similar theology around the subject of fasting. Then at some point, we had a new generation of churches, and the leaders or the pastors of those churches would say something like, fasting does not change God. It changes you. Have you heard that before? Uh-huh. So, in other words, don't come and die here. All right? So, it sounded cliche, like a cliche. It sounded awkward somehow, but then we started getting used to it. So, a generation rose that didn't know the power of fasting that our parents knew. We now had more knowledge, but we lacked the depth, the bite. You know, in those days, if you had a problem, maybe at the office or in your school, you talk to your parents about it, they will just say, okay, come, let's pray. For those of us who are Christian parents, or if your parents are somewhere in the range of 70, 80 years, if they were in church, they knew that life. They didn't necessarily run to the church. Most of them, that generation, it seemed that the parents had a measure of the anointing. They didn't know too much, but they had something. And that thing that they had, they knew it. So now, we are now the product of, we are the byproduct of two generations. The generation of, we are the offspring of a generation that de-emphasized fasting. Or substitute the word fasting for consecration. Because if you understand what fasting, the idea behind fasting, what it is, you may be very careful when you throw around words. It's just like when someone says, everything is not by prayer. Yes, I agree. But do you mean that in a condescending way? Do you mean that in a very awkward way? Because the scripture tells us that the technology of prayer was not discovered until Enoch. So it was when Enoch was born that men began to call upon. So before, between Adam and Enoch, Adam was the only one who knew how to communicate with God. Seth, who would have been the other person, was killed. So we had hundreds of people who began to live, knowing that there was a divine life, a divine power, but they could not access it. Which means that prayer is one of the legally instituted patterns for accessing the divine life. So, excuse me. So if you don't know how to pray, you are already in trouble. And if the person who taught you how to pray is also telling you that prayer is not so significant or so important, then you run at a very serious risk, because when the odds are against you, all right? Are you with me so far? You've gone home. So the reason why I'm saying this is because when I hear something new, and I am tempted to, and I feel that thing is tempting to draw me away from Christ, the first thing my first bus stop is to go and look at the life of Jesus and see if there was a foundation of that thing or principle in his life. And I want to recommend to you very seriously that you adopt this. That if tomorrow I come to you and I say to you, don't fast again, then like Paul, let me be anathema. And if any pastor in this church comes to you in the name of any high revelation, I might have been dead then, maybe 200 years later, let him also be cursed. Because the problem is not your doctrine. The problem is that it's going against the nature of something Christ prioritized. So, the backdrop of Luke chapter 4 is that Jesus had gone to the water to be baptized by John. And when Jesus got there, there was one or two tests that was given to him. And you know, when you are being given a divine test or an assignment, you may not know. You know, when John saw him, John recognized him. He said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Huh? However, if John had failed in his enterprise or failed to recognize Jesus in his true estate, Jesus would have still been required to submit himself to the baptism of John. So there was a test of being high-handed, of being proud, that he had to pass. It's just in the same way somebody might come here and may expect to be introduced. But The chances are that depending on where in the service we find ourselves, there may or may not be time for that. You may have to come next Sunday again. All right? When Jesus saw John the Baptist, all he knew was that he needed to be there. All he knew was that this baptism of water was significant to his journey. This was his cousin, but Jesus must now meet his cousin, not in the flesh, but as a spiritual person. And you know, this is a test that many Christians fail. It's the same thing that happened to Miriam. She just assumed that because she was the elder sister of Moses, that she could address him. Yes, she has the power to address him, but God didn't find it funny. Because he's my servant, not yours. If you have your family matter, you can do what you like. But as far as this job, this ministry is concerned, we don't play here. Line behind your brother. Yes, again, you must consider that she was significant to the rescue of Moses. Moses would not have had a ministry without her, because she put him on the water. She saved him. She went to the princess of or the whoever, that woman in Egypt, and said, let me get you someone to take care of him, of this young boy. Her role was influential. But God required that at a certain point she was supposed to take the back seat. And that was where she struggled. The moment she made that mistake, the unction on her life could no longer operate. She was a prophetess. But the Lord made a statement and said, if your father has spat in your eyes, what would you have done? The Lord stated that if your father has spat in your eyes, you are supposed to leave his presence for a number of days, as though cut off. It was not a good sign for your father to spit in your face. So what God's way of spitting on her was to give her leprosy. And I think she went away for like 2 weeks or so. She enjoyed herself, had some time off, you know, to rethink the whole process. But God could not touch Aaron. Have I thought about this before? Huh? Okay, only Busaya remembers. Pastor, you have forgotten. The pastor of the church said he has forgotten. So let's do a refresher. Pastor David Sheranti, so you have been saved. Amen. So, but we've talked about this severally now. Pastor David, God touched two people who are responsible, but God touched one and he could not touch the other. One was a prophetess, Ojegba, instantly. You know, he was given the axe and sent out. The other one, Aaron, could not be touched. It's not because one was older than the other. It's because the reason was that Aaron was the high priest, and he was wearing the garment of the priest. And on that priest, on that garment, you had 12 tribes, the emblem of the 12 tribes of Israel, which means if God touched him, the whole nation would suffer. But it is a family quarrel. I'm going somewhere. This is a family quarrel, and I want you to pay attention. I'm taking my time. You see, the traffic has done 5 and 6 on me, so I'm humbled. I'm humbled enough to teach this message. Sometimes people just watch the message. They don't know the circumstance in which that message was coming to them. But it's okay, I forgive you. Forgive you. The brother was wearing the robe and the garment of the priest. So that office, he was in his office. God could not touch him. And that is what, oh goodness. That office was not just priestly, it was intercessory. Hey, are you seeing something here? That brother had the ministry of prayer, because the work of the high priest was to intercede for the 12 tribes. So if God, there are something, I hope somebody's saying something. I'm not teaching you bad things. I'm just telling you that when you stand in the ministry of prayers and intercession, it may take God a long time to do away with you, because if he touches you, a gap has been created. And that gap may be the gap of intercession over your family. If the Lord has placed you as an intercessor over the nation Nigeria, over a particular nation, and then you do something wrong. Until, if that offense is so grievous that you have to be removed from that place, God will have to wait to find a replacement. But in the meantime, you could continue your sin as though there was no issue until your cup becomes full. And then God decides to visit the matter. So our brother continued in his ministry. Do you know that some other time he was still going to the holiest of all, and he was supposed to die there, he will come back. Then he would have probably thought, maybe it's just Miriam that was talking, maybe that's why, maybe God has forgotten. One day, when nobody was looking in that direction, God just summoned everybody. And the first thing he said, so you see, there was already judgment over the head of Aaron. Aaron did not know. Moses could not see it. Miriam had long moved on. It would have been better for Aaron that he was punished that day. But everybody had moved on. Then God just remembered, hey, there's one thing we've not talked about. So everybody, brothers and sisters, come together. Then he just said, okay, remove the garment over this brother. So God had found a replacement now. So God said, remove the garment over Aaron. The moment they took off the garment, no word was said. He died on the spot. Now, I said all of this not because I'm looking at judgment today, but because I want to emphasize a very strong point positively. And that point is that when you stand in your ministry, when you stand under the unction that God has kept you, there are many things that will happen to people around you, but it will not touch you. Are you with me? There are many things. People will lose their head. But because you are someone that is called and you are standing within a specific gap. Look at, even in the matter, in the case file, God versus Aaron, which was in court for years. Case file, GODAARONO1. That case file between God and his direct representative, God could not even win the case directly because the brother was wearing God. So the real case was God versus God. So the only way to deal with him is to take away his divinity and let him become fully man again. I am trying to tell you that when you decide to enter into the ministry of prayer and you adopt it as a calling, look at how long it took God to judge Aaron's matter. Now, tell me, what do you think Satan can do about you? Are you with me? Please, are you still here? Sorry I had to use that example, but are you getting the picture? That is, you. For some reason, you may not even be able to explain why you always seem to oriyomi. Why? What's another word for oriyomi? Why you always just seem to have an escape valve? There's just this thing about you. You just always escape. But I am here to tell you that even when you say it is mercy, mercy has an explanation, which you may not have, but God knows that mercy is not cheap. Mercy is not weak. And what you call mercy is perfectly explainable by God. We are stepping into this month. And what I'm... Thank God, I know a lot of healings and miracles will take place. Yeah? I know that. But what I would really desire is for everyone to rise higher in spiritual stature. Say amen. Amen. Even the least amongst us that will grow in supernatural strength, such that we are now compatible with the anointing. Now back to Luke chapter 4 verse 1. When Jesus was baptized by John, the scripture says in verse 1 that he was full of the Holy Ghost. So, there is a baptism. when you say you are baptized, that means you are going to be full of God, not necessarily the gift. Jesus operating, are you here? Jesus operating in the gift of the Spirit would be a risk on his own life without the fullness of God. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, he came in through the wall, and then he breathed upon them. And what did he say? This, I believe, John chapter 20. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. That was the day they became born again. Are you here? Ah, I've lost you. You cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. The salvation experience is a work that Jesus, in collaboration with the Holy Spirit, carries out. That's why he that is born of the Spirit. You heard Jesus use that term in John chapter 3. He said you must be born of water and Spirit. The water there is not necessarily water baptism. Even though, hello, you need it. Yes. I'm still looking for a river. The day I find that river in this Lagos, we are going for water baptism. Just pray. You will be the one, the first person I will baptize. Amen. How many of you have not been baptized by water here? Oh, glory. I can see a few hands. Amen. Now, you are baptized. If you are baptized before you came to this knowledge of Christ, that one has been canceled. Some of you were baptized as babies. You were baptized. Okay, so I've canceled it. It's not valid. It's not something you should go into without knowledge. All right? So, that one, they just did it for... Did they take pictures? That is the reason why they did it. Just put you inside water. I hope you didn't ingest. Who knows? And I hope the water was very healthy. Amen. So, some of us come from backgrounds where... And I can name churches where they, the day of your life, they hand you over to marine spirits. So, but it's okay. It's okay. We were all handed over, so don't worry. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. So Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost when John laid hands on him. Hello, John laid his hands on Jesus. Oh. You get mine though. let me tell you, even if the Lord were to appear to me now and say, you are my brother, when I gave my life for you, we became brother, I'll say, no, don't be my brother. Be my God. You know we are his brothers, eh? But has it ever occurred to you that he's actually your brother? God forbid, but I know what. I know what, man. You will be explaining when we get to him. Well, for now, please, I need help. Let me not use my helper's hand. I beg, Jesus, I know you're my brother, but let's leave that one for some other time. I beg, be my Lord and my Savior because I need help. Monilo Rolo, I need help. But do you know that it must have taken a level of persuasion for John to put his hand? Like, you put your hand over what the angels, the ground that the angels feared to tread, John put his leg there and he did not die. And Jesus allowed himself. Today it would have been in the name of the Father. This one is the one who is it. They still measure in the name of the Father. Then he goes in a dry Jesus and comes out wet. All right, except it was one of the tests he needed to pass. Do you know that as at the time Jesus walked to that water, he knew who he was. He knew he was not an ordinary person. He knew he was God incarnate. And yet, look at the route his Father chose for him.
I am telling you that without humility, you will never be anything before God. You may be before men. They may even sing your praises. Oh, let me tell you. But before God, you will be nothing. Ah, no, no, no. They won't respect you in the spiritual realm. And may I tell you that the subject of a humble lifestyle, a humble spirit, is not known physically. It's a heart thing. If you think you are better than somebody, you are not humble. Even if that statement is true. Are you still here? God, put up Luke chapter 4 verse 1. In case I'm lying, let's look at this scripture. It's in the Holy Bible. And Jesus being full, this was, just keep it here. This was as he was coming out of the water. Everybody around him saw a man coming out wet. But the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. Like a dove there, meaning that gently. Huh? He didn't fall under the anointing. The Holy Spirit can come in that way, but in this particular case, it would have made a lot of sense if Jesus had fallen under the anointing and rolled on the floor to show that the Holy Spirit actually came. Jesus didn't do any of that. In fact, most people did not think anything happened to him. That is why I pity a lot of people who come to church and they think, oh, because the pastor did not mention their case, or he did not mention their name, or they didn't fall under the anointing, or that person fell under the anointing without anybody touching her. But until the pastor touched this one, he did not fall. Which means this one got something direct. This one was, they bypassed the line and, you know, dropped it on her. So when you have those kind of, people feel that way, sincerely. Because even I myself, I've been in meetings where the pastor, the prophet was just speaking and speaking, and he caught somebody beside me. I say, my God, that means God is not far from where I'm standing. And the man bypassed me. He still bypassed me. Let me tell you, when Baba, was he on Molen? When he came and they asked me to come out. In fact, I was feeling for some of my friends. I said, yeah, today is my deal. It's not yours. At some point, I said, let me just focus and collect this anointing so that. First day, second day, repeated the same thing twice. Let me tell you. It doesn't matter who lays hands on you. If you are not able to receive it, with a humble spirit, it will not stay. The outcome of the response of Jesus was that he became full. It was not a half-filled cup. It was not a half-empty cup. It was actually full of the Spirit. And when you say full of the Spirit, there are two elements that you need to consider. One will be the Spirit of wisdom. And one will be the Spirit of power. But you see, the Spirit of power, even though Jesus received the fullness, because John, the writer of the book of John, John the Beloved, will tell us that he received the Spirit without measure. Which means he received all of God. Jesus received all of God. We have received him with a measure, which is why I may be able to prophesy, but you can operate better in the healing anointing, and you seem to operate better with the Spirit of wisdom, and you are graced with some other type of anointing, but everything cumulatively comes to Christ. But Jesus received unrestrained access into the mainframe. But look at the first task that was given to him. Please put up that scripture by the Holy Spirit. Wonderful Spirit. I would think he would have started a church or something. Look at it. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Now, please, before we read that, do you know what is significant about Jordan? Huh? If I had to start a church, let's say abroad, I'll probably choose a name like the Jordan Assembly, the Jordan Company. I like that kind of names. Very, very nice. Or if I have a son now, like Joshua, Joel, JJJ, the next one will be Jordan. It's not Michael Jordan. This one is in the Bible. Jordan. Jordan is significant for Elisha and Elijah.
Do you remember? That was the river they crossed that parted into two. Jordan seems to be a conflagration of spiritual and divine activity. Some people come there, they don't get anything. Others come there and heaven's open. Just beyond the Jordan, Elijah went. Around that same area, Elisha got the double portion. There are certain, if you look through the scriptures, it seems there are certain points on earth that are power zones for God. Let me tell you, if you begin to pray, you can open channels in your room such that that place becomes a touchdown for divine activity. Another point will be where Jacob laid his head when he was running from his brother. They called the place Luz, L-U-Z. And he was actually losing in his life. That man was actually losing. Because if I stole the inheritance, I should be bold enough to say, oh, smart, and I took it. But because your conscience is not clear, you must run. Then he got to that place, he used a stone, and that stone was Christ. He used that stone and he laid his head, and then he had revelations of angels what? Okay, no time. I would have taken a census with a $20 gift. If not, I would have asked you to repeat your answer. But it doesn't matter. I can as well enjoy my money alone. The angels were already there. They ascended and descended. So there are certain environments that it seems as though God was already there. And it takes the spirit of God to know that you went to visit Mama, but when you got there, the things you observed seemed to suggest to you that God was already in that parlor waiting for you, because the moment you came in, the voice of the Lord started coming. Haven't you been with people before? I don't know. It has happened to me. You just get into their environment and it's so easy to hear God. And God is just speaking and confirming and confirming and confirming. Somebody said to me, he said, I'm tired of you. No, I'm your friend. We've been friends for years. You don't prophesy to me. I said, we don't make up this thing. It's what they bring that I say. He said, so can't you do anything? I said, so I can't do anything. So I know what I would have told him. But because of the way he challenged the anointing, I decided that I should go and queue. Yes. So the first thing I would have told him is, for your own sake, stop telling me your personal business. Because if I tell you something, you might think it's because of what I know. Actually, I can prophesy to you from what we both know that I know. Then I will continue from there into the area where you are not aware that. So that would be, but because of the way he challenged me and challenged the anointing, and I told him, I said, no problem, go and queue. He said it jokingly, and I also replied jokingly. The will of God is for you to know him, not to be seeking for prophecy. So we are friends. I'm not your pastor. If you want to prophesy, you come and join Harvest World. So we laughed about it. But I think I later gave him a prophecy somewhere, and I think he liked it. There's somewhere I'm going with this matter. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led into the wilderness. He was led into a place of scarcity. Typical of staying away from plenty and entering into a season of fasting, a season of lack. So there is a season you get to. It is not a question of, do you want to fast? Fasting is now compelled on you, because there is no guava tree here. There is nobody's baking bread here. In fact, the only option for bread had to be a miracle. Are you with me? Now, the permission of Jesus was not sought. Would you like to go into 30 days fasting? 40 days fasting? I think you should wait upon the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the moment he came into that vessel, stopped suggesting to him, started instructing him. Did you hear what I just said? You didn't hear it. The day the Holy Spirit took over that vessel, he no longer received suggestions. He now received what? Instructions. This is the difference between people who say they are filled with the Holy Spirit and those who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit takes over your vessel, it's like a madman. You don't control that body again. It is the spirit in that madman that controls him. So if you have not gotten to that level, we have 1 month to secure that space. Because the moment the Holy Spirit takes over your vessel, he will now be responsible for defending that vessel against attacks. Because he needs that body. Are we together? So, this is just a foundation. Let's just wrap up. Because the day is young. Amen. So he was in that state for 40 days. And please, can I tell you, 40 days is not a lot of time. Say amen. Let me tell you, Harvest Word. You see what I'm sharing with you now. I know a lot of churches will do mid-year fasting, but that's not why we are doing this. Did you hear what I said? I'm very sure. I've not gone online, but I know many churches will do mid-year fast because God failed them from January to June. So they need to say, I know. I am here to tell you that what I am interested in, it's not about getting God's attention mid-year. It's not for the second half of the year. No. What I'm telling you is that I want you to do something differently that will bring you into covenant with God. So that the day you are no more on this earth, God can come to your children and say, as I was with your father, Oluwagbenga, so I will be with you. Wouldn't that be a good deal? So which means that God will not start with your children from where they are. He will continue from where he stopped with you. Which means there will be legacy. There will be continuity. It will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them will have a covenant encounter with God. The day your mother is about to die, God will come and tell you, I'm taking that away. It won't be a surprise. So where you would have prepared your mind. Because now the owner of the vessel is now responsible for all the responsibilities associated with that vessel materially. And that is what God will say, a vessel you have prepared for me. A vessel, a vessel, a vessel, a vessel. See, as he was in this earth, so are we. In what context? In that the Holy Spirit filled his vessel and could use his body in any way he chose. But you see, there are certain challenges to this process. And topmost among these challenges, passion. Passion. Not passion of the Christ. Passion. Passion. Jesus said to Peter, after he resurrected, he said, when you were young, I hope you know Peter was older than Jesus. Physically. So Peter was an egbon. Peter was an egbon. You understand? Like, that's why Peter was the only one that could challenge him. And Jesus still called him Satan. So they understood themselves. Leave John. John was among the cherubims. That one didn't have any issue. But you see, Peter, his beards were very long. In fact, maybe he even thinks Jesus is privileged to have him. Yes, because he was a businessman. He has a sheep. And he has Peter and sons. So, but you see, after Jesus rose up, see the way he started talking to Peter. He didn't talk to Peter like he needed him. He spoke to Peter like he had possessed him. Because when he rose and came into that room, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. That's where Pentecostals get it from. Somebody said, well, some years ago, I was listening to someone say, hey, why is it that Pastor Chris, anytime he wants to pray, he will be blowing hair on people, be blowing spit on people. Hey, can't you just pray for them? And they will be falling. I say, why don't you try it? Maybe you can also be lucky. You get lucky and maybe one person will fall. If you don't know something, just keep quiet. Eh? The day you try it, somebody I know somewhere, he tried that thing. I say, why do you blow spit for my face now?
That's why they blow spit for my face. I just showed you. Say you can see that. That is not this air. There is something that the Holy Spirit is resting upon, making that thing to. The other time I was so sick, and after taking so many drugs, I've been to the hospital back to back, and I wasn't getting better. So the Lord gave me an idea. I would take a cup of water, and then I would pray over it, and then I would breathe into it. Same scripture as my background. And I said, this is now medicine. So I don't know what is wrong with my body, but this is medicine. I drink it morning, evening, till I got better. So I do this whenever I'm dealing with medical situations that have proven to be difficult for the doctors. I don't abuse it, but I do it when I get into a tight spot. All right? So what are we talking about here? That the being full of the Holy Spirit means that there is no question to your commitment. There is no question to your consecration. There is no question to your obedience. There is no question to your submission. Because if you are like a cup or like a big bucket, and then you turn on the tap or the faucet and water begins to flow into the bucket, if there was no hindrance, that bucket will keep on taking the water till it overflows. Now, what happens if I take like a net and then I place it over the bucket? So the water will still be coming in, but you see that a lot of it begins to spill. If I take if I bring in a bucket that has a cover and just a little opening somewhere, you see that we are applying several restrictions. It becomes very difficult. The Holy Spirit still wants to use you, but it's taking a lot of time. So last week in my house, we had a tap. So let me tell you this one as an aside. They asked a young boy, an American boy. I saw it on Instagram that what it means to be a pastor's kid. So that's what the video is about. It's like a short video. The guy now said, he now held the mic and said, whatever happens in our home the previous week is going to be part of the message that Sunday. So I said, oh my God, this evil boy has caught me. So now I'm thinking, should I tell you this story or not now? So I don't know. Anyway, I'll say it then, repent next week. We had a problem with the tap. Now, we've been in the house for like 3 years, and this particular tap that is broken, the water coming in from that end doesn't flow well. So we've even had a point to change the tap once in a while, but once in like in 2 years. But that tap flows, but it takes its time. So I've always told my wife, as the Sadiq that I am, that the water flowing from the tank, that the pressure is not so strong, so that's why it's taking a lot of time. In fact, when we have to tell the security man to run the water downstairs, the water will first go to those on the ground floor, then begins to, by the time you have water flowing heavily in my children's bathroom and in my kitchen, that particular one, so when you see, just say, okay, well, it's coming up. Two, 3 hours later, it's working, quite. But it's not as, the pressure is not as strong or as much as the other ones. So I just thought that's the destiny of that tap. So I got used to it. Then the tap broke. So I called in a plumber, and he came, and he said, sir, we are going to buy a new tap. He said the original is 12,000. He said this type that is there is 4,000, 5,000. And I said, are you telling me this one is not original? He said, no. I said, so what's the difference with this one? He said, when I buy it, you will see. I said, last price. He said, 12,000. I said, last price. He said, 12,000. So I gave him 12,000. I didn't know what he was going to buy. But when he came back, he just fixed it, turned on the faucet, and I just said, then I remembered it was not working better than the one in the kitchen. And I said, come, what's going on here? Because this tap, the pipe that came from underground, as if I was there when they laid it. I said, the pipe that came from underground, it doesn't work well. So this is usually the tap that, you know, receives water, at, you know, in the old building. The guy looked at me and said, what are you talking about? He said the tap that was here didn't have the capacity. I said, wow, talk to me. I was hearing a revelation already. He said, no capacity. He said, that tap was not built for pressure. I said, my God. I was hearing revelations. I said, not built. Then I looked at it. He said, look at this one. Even if you just turn the faucet just halfway, look at the difference. I went to the kitchen. I said, oh my God. Oh, this is a message for Sunday. I said, oh my God. But I taught the lesson that in the spiritual realm, capacity is everything. The same water was flowing across 7 flats, including the one underground. Nobody complained. The moment there was something with the vessel, the moment there was something wrong with the vessel, that tap was always getting clogged. We always have to clean out the dirt. We always have to do one thing or the other every now and then. The guy told me, sir, it's not the water. It's not the pipe. It's the vessel. The vessel. This guy was lucky to have lasted this long. He said this one that just broke was lucky to have lasted this long. When Jesus was baptized by John, God could not use him that way. Because he had not been tested. He is the Word of God. He is God incarnate. But you see, he is now in a mortal flesh. Huh? When the first, you know, one of the names of Jesus is Adam. So there are two of them. The first one was not tested. He grew up to meet himself as a man. This first Adam didn't know what it meant to be a child. He didn't know what it meant to be a young boy. He didn't know what it meant to need anything. The day he opened his eyes on this earth, he was already a man. So there was no way he would not fall. Jesus, being the last Adam, God will not release him for that assignment until he has double-checked that all operating systems are fully functional. This one will require iOS 18, 19, 20, 24. For the next 3.5 years, this one can receive. This is not iPhone 6. Are you still here? That if God looking at his son, being full of the Holy Ghost, still could not use him. Say, let's separate him from food. And let me tell you, food is a good measurement. When you're hungry, how do you react? Are you usually, who is usually cranky? I'm cranky when I'm hungry. Who is like me now? You are behaving like you are very holy now. Yeah. Who said sometimes? Who said every time? Chalo. I mean, if hunger, because of our American audience. If you are hungry, you just calm down. How do you do it? That you are cranky. He said when he doesn't have money, he's cranky. Now, is there anyone that is able to sleep when he's hungry? Hey. He was going to raise his hand and the work clock disqualified him. If I sleep, it will be the sleep of fever and malaria because I can't sleep if I'm hungry. Now, God knew that the ministry of Jesus would take him into the house of Pharisees. It would take him into the house of Lazarus. He knew that the subject of what shall we eat? How will I take care of my family? Is a reason why many never reach their highest potential in God. Hello, look at me. Because that's why some of us dumped the last guy. You look at him, he's nice. But no capacity. Eh? If you run that tap, it takes 3 hours to see action. Eh? And you realize that at your age, 33, you should be relating with someone who has a clear direction. So you dumped a man who was almost at the edge of breakthrough. Eh? Some of you are looking back now. I'm talking to you. Let me tell you, and I say this with every sense of pride. If I were my wife, I won't marry me. There was nothing desirable about me. I'm sure some of you saw my picture recently. Eh? Glorious in holiness. Amen. I'll be glorious in mercy. Doing wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was a man of fire then. But koyofu me. I no get shishi. Eh? Though I was anointed. But nothing. The only thing people loved about me was that he's a godly, he's anointed. But you see, my wife saw something. Eh? That's what I want you to find. That thing she saw. That thing with which she was able to see. And make that dangerous, risky decision is what you also need to find. Because let me tell you, nobody will remain at the same level forever. Including you. You are slim now. After 2 children, amen. When we ask all the good women to stand up, you will really be good. Amen. To the glory of God. So please, I beg you, don't marry for size, because we've seen plump people become slim after 2 children. And we've seen slim people, you know, rise to the glory of God in His majesty. So you better hear God and stop fooling around. Because God will surprise you. Adjelloju. Amen. So the question between Jordan and the wilderness was the question of consecration. Please, this is so important that no matter how much God wants to use you, He will not use you beyond the level of your consecration. He said, if any man shall purge himself from this, it shall be what? A vessel unto honor. If any man, if you decide today, which means the day you make that decision to keep your body for the glory of God, not because you don't want one man to add you to the body count, then God will start dealing with you. Because for most of, not here anyway, they are not in this church, but I know that for a lot of ladies, they are just being wise. That's why they are not loose. It's not because they are not loose. All right? So they are just keeping their bodies so that no boy will tell his friend that I dated her. Or 7 boys on the street say I've dated her before. No, they are just trying to keep their pride. Let me tell you, when God comes into your life, the first thing He wants to address is your pride. Even after my father passed, my family, those concerned, if they are listening, they know themselves. We are still insisting that I should make sure I marry someone abroad. It was a conversation. So they just said, okay, his face looks like Ole Jomo. You know, I feel if I stay there small, mama, I will begin to look like those way they there, you know. Say this one, he must marry an Americana or Britico. And they were telling me, so I should not make mistake. Oh. Don't go and say you are praying somewhere. God said, I was the ticket out of poverty. But God passed them. One day I said to one of them, I said, all these things you are doing. I heard God do. Huh? If I wait 10 years and I come back to this house, huh? That lady, I was talking about my wife, because I said, that's the person you will see. I said, so don't waste your time. Then I told them, don't go to any prophet again. They will not see anything. They say, you are still young. I say, which young? Was Jesus young when they killed him? Was he not young? Who prays that his son should die at the age of 33? What are you saying? That's my wife. I asked one, I said, when you were married, did I oppose you? Say no, because I was not even born. I said, so all I need you to do is attend the wedding. See, let me tell you, you can be stubborn if you hate God. Yes, you can be stubborn. Because let me tell you, your life, as long as you know that Olorun lo ba e soro, that it was God that spoke to you, everything going forward will hinge on that decision. Everything. Jesus already knew that from that point where him and John were doing Holy Ghost, fall down, Holy Ghost, move, Holy Ghost, enter water, Holy Ghost, receive Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, pick him up, take it again. They dip him inside water three times. Jesus knew that that was their last association. That the next decision that he needed to make, John cannot make it for him. He went into the wilderness and began to consecrate himself. He did not go there saying, I'm the son of God. All the angels that were following me when I was in heaven, let them come now and settle with me. At night, do you know what Jesus was saying? Wild animals. He didn't go there with a lantern, no. He didn't go there with a rechargeable torch. Huh? If there was any tree per adventure in that wilderness, he will sit under the tree at night. If you sleep, you die. Because at night, all those white creatures will likely come out. There was no water. There was no food. There was, even if you want to be tempted, you can't be tempted here because there is no food. The Holy Spirit made sure he went very far into the wilderness. Yeah, Magbadura. That kind of prayer, you can't pray it with English. Oh, Oluwa, Oluwa, Oba, Oba, Oba. You will pray your mother language. Abba Simbo. You will mention, he never heard you before. You don't know how to pray. You know how I know? You have not found yourself in a critical position. When you get to that position, that's the day you will know you understand your native language. That's the day you hear, Jesu Omo Dafidi. You know you've never said that before. Even Jesus, when he got to where his mother could not escort him, he cried, my God, why? You want God to use you? Let me tell you, I'm talking about the conditions for power. You see, the thing about this level is that once you will not go there for one day and come out. For Jesus, it was 40 days. They gave him opportunity to run away. Do you know that if it were to be some of us, after 7 days, you would just hear, Jesu, Oluwa, me. Say, we receive by faith. Everything God gives us is by faith. In Jesus, my Peter, oh yeah, let's go. He would have returned. Don't you know? Nobody will know. But he will not return in the power. You see that power? Eh? If you find it in this month of consecration, if you find it, it will be undeniable. And let me tell you, the power of God is not gender biased. Say amen. The power of God is not gender biased too. Eh? He may be an engineer, but if that power is on your, if that ororo, if that oil is on your head, it will be evident. It will be evident. And that's what we need. I know some of us are already blessed with the anointing, but believe me, there is more. Amen? There is more. Even the youngest amongst us, there is something for them. In the name of Jesus. As we round up, I want you to know that when you begin to touch God, and I'm saying this because some of you need to go home tonight and Sit down. What are the things you will concentrate yourself from this month? Hello? Are you with me? This month of fasting. Huh? Go home. Have a meeting with yourself. Don't ask your wife. Because our own target may be different from yours. Before you have the meeting with your wife, make up your mind. That your fiancé or fiance or whatever you call yourself, part of what may be on the table is that you will not visit each other this month. Yes, to the glory of God. Church is quiet. Some of us, and I know if you are here, just smile, don't say anything. Anytime you want to fast, you eat morning and afternoon together. I say, lunch and dinner together. They say, yes. She said, yes. To break. You ought to recover. So we are not going to, amen. I know that and I've been there. And it's a very easy temptation to fall into. But this year it will not be like that. Are you with me? It's fasting, not hunger strike. I'm telling you why many of us wait on God, but even Satan doesn't understand what we are doing. It doesn't, because it doesn't make sense even to him. Why are you gatekeeping food? Why are you somebody gave you egg roll at the office. Somebody was doing his birthday and they brought, and you collected it. You say, when I break, you kept it. Then the afternoon, your friend bought granite. You kept it in the bag. Then evening, so now you have all kind. Now it's a buffet. So it's a buffet now, and amen. It will not be so amongst us. This year, this month rather, if there is anyone, whether it's your MD or whatever, don't take the soft drink, don't take the wine, don't take what else do you people small chops? Someone say. Because I will change your fasting to 40 days. What else do you normally like? Fresh egg roll, shawarma. Don't keep it for, don't tell the person, you know what? Let the dispatch bring it in the evening. No. If that request was made before you break your fast, it's not yours. If the offer was made, someone's waiting, crime, you come to this church. Hello, I want to share the grace. So I hope you are hearing me now. Because some people now, they are online. They will say their network is having an issue. Listen to me. This is our month of what? Consecration. And what was Jesus required to stay away from? Food. One of the things. You see, the difference between your idea of what Jesus did and what our fathers, those ones in CAC, and they are your babalolas. What they knew. When you see them holding the mic and say, Kosagbara to dabiti. You see, the way we know that song and the way they knew that song is different. When I was attending some of those churches, if there was a deliverance session, please, and I don't know which church you attended before coming here. If there was a deliverance session going on, if that person was proving to be difficult, they will form a circle and put the person in the middle. Nobody will touch him again. You will now hear, Kosagbara to da, or they will sing, there is power mighty in the blood. Nobody will touch you will be delivered today. Is it because we are still telling you, come out, come out. Don't come out, wait. When the fire... Have you seen those kind of things before? Huh? What was it they knew? Those guys didn't play with. They didn't get accustomed to pleasure. They didn't pray and have a bottle of granite beside them. So I just love nuts. I am telling you that if truly you want to consecrate yourself, then separate yourself. Look at the requirement of heaven. When God told Moses, he said, I want to come and visit the people. He said, tell them to separate themselves for 3 days. Look at the requirement. They must wash all their clothes. Hello? Their physical clothes. Oh. Hello? You remember those things you have in the... You left beside your beds in one corner, those clothes that you have been stockpiling for 4 days or 5 days now. Don't indicate. Just look straight. You understand? You're looking at me. Now, you remember those... The singlets, whatever. You know those things. You between you and your God, you know what they are. Now, all those things. You will clean your room as though you and God will be here for the next 30 days. And the king must not see any filthy thing. Hello? I'm rounding up. Don't play that game and say, it's the other matters. You are deceiving yourself. I'm telling you, you will clean your heart and clean your environment. Huh? Hey, church, do you want us to start another Bible study now on why what I said is scriptural? I said, go home, that's your room. If you have a roommate, go and tell them, especially if they are member of church, tell them that pastor said all this one-on-one should stop. Now, one-on-one is a tongue of angels. I cannot interpret that one, but it's a way of saying all this rubbish people do here. That pastor said this month, everywhere must be what? Clean. God said to Moses, tell them to wash their clothes and keep their environment clean and stay away from their wives. You see why I say, there is power mighty and nothing happened. Somebody else, there is power. Holy Ghost fair. Boom. I know there are many yuppie pastors online telling you that it doesn't matter if you are fasting or not. So what exactly are you consecrating yourself from? Are you going to die? How are you living your life as a Christian before you got married? Am I saying it cannot happen? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have determined it must happen. Hallelujah. Let's keep the house clean. Because when God required the apostles and the 120 people who were in that upper room, he tested them whether they will be able to wait through. And it was after how many days? 50. 50 means Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came. That does not mean you can't drink water. It doesn't mean that if you are diagnosed with ulcer, that you cannot fast. It just means there's a way you will fast. Huh? God sees the heart. But whether you are consecrating yourself, again, your Netflix subscription. Yes. There is power mighty in the blood. Let me tell you, if you are someone that loves to watch movies into the night, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., forget about it for the next 1 month. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to find God. The devil is deceiving you. Yes. I know some people will tell you it's the heart that matters. I came to tell you, God looks at not only the heart, but the soul and the body. If you want to separate yourself for God, do it for these 30 days. These 26 days, Abby. How many days? 21 days. And you will not die, but you will find him. Look at the open times you have in the day and choose a prayer time. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You may decide to pray according to the watches. Maybe 9 a.m. 10 minutes. Depending on what your work schedule is, 15 minutes. Make sure that every three hours you are saying something to God. If you don't have anything to say, Ogbe mi fo, Ogbe mi sare, Owo Oluwa hambe. Ask that his hand will rest upon you. That is a viable prayer point for 21 days. We will pray like CAC people this month. I'm even looking for a bell now. That Ago Igbala. Because some people think I'm joking. I have a cassock that I've been thinking maybe I will wear or maybe I will not wear. I will shock everybody one day. White cassock. with my ago igbala. That's the day you will know that you are in trouble. Prepare yourself. Prepare to be successful in the place of fasting. Prepare to be successful in the place of prayer. Tell yourself. Don't say, the Holy Spirit will remind me. No! Make room for him. Make room. Make room. Make room. You have time now. That's what my pastor said to me. He said, the Lord said, I should tell you, you have time now. But you will not have time tomorrow. That's what my God told my pastor to tell me. And he is right. Because right now, the thing I really don't have now is time. This month, we will find God. Oh. Every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, it's because you've not found him. That's why you don't love him. When you find him, you will not allow anybody take Jesus away from you again. That woman, what's her name? Mary. After she was the first to run to the grave. She wanted Jesus. You know, Peter was doing a bishop council, hiding his head. But there was a woman, the one of whom demons were cast out of, and she loved more. That one ran. She knew that she would have been harassed by soldiers, but she still went. So this month, we are going to find God. I want you to get ready to make the sacrifice. Huh? You can choose one of your friends in church. You can even fix prayer times at night. Call yourselves on WhatsApp and let it be video. Because some people, they'll just log into the meeting. You won't see the mic moving. You won't see anything. You are dealing and say, sure, thank you. Sir. Some people are specialists at being mute. They are so muted. And they are not like that in real life. Oh. They can talk for Africa. But when it's time to pray, it's as, you just notice the what should I say? I don't know. The mic. Your mic is muted. She will be struggling with it as if this is the first time she's using Zoom. It's not on mute. Okay, but you can hear me. She will type, yes. Yeah. My friend, Pastor Desmond, went to pray for one big elderly woman. The mama is so big like this. So big. So big. His mom was the one that recommended the woman for prayers. Because they know Pastor Desmond is, his anointing is like raging fire. So it said to be VG. When they got to the woman's house, Father, we declare that we love you. We declare, Mama, are you sleeping? Say no. Just be praying. We declare our everlasting love for you. Father, we thank you. He started raising his voice, thinking that if he shouts, the woman will wake up. The more he raised his voice, the more the woman snored. After the VG, he said, thank God he has heard our prayers. The man said, okay, so we'll do this tomorrow again. He said, no, God has heard us. God said he has heard us. Ah, what is this? You are the one with the problem. I came to help you. You now sat down. I said, let us sing. You started snoring. I shouted. Your snore rose even higher. You now said, can we do it for 3 days? You and who? Let me say this final story and we close the meeting. Where is that, my friend? Stand up. Come. Remind me, how old are you again? 14. What class are you now? SS1.
SS1.
Yeah. Okay, so I was also 14 when I was in SS1. Huh? I first became a Christian in GSS1. First, like really, really became a Christian. You know, I gave God my life and I took it back many times. But that one, I knew I left it. When I became a Christian, now I want you to imagine what my height would have been in GSS1. The day I gave my life to Christ, they told me, you must begin to pray and fast. They did not ask me if my parents would like it. Oh. They did not ask me if I had an ulcer. Bro Bidemi, Bro Lawrence, and Bro Humphrey. God bless them wherever they are. They told me, now that you are in Christ, you must begin to read the Bible, pray, and fast. And all I said was, yes, sir. From that age, I started working miracles. Because I believed them. They told me, if I follow these things, I'll work miracles. I am telling you that if at the age of 10, God found me usable, you have no excuse if you are a spiritual liability. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask for grace. We refuse to be liabilities. We ask for divine help. We ask for divine assistance. Lord, help us. We are not capable in ourselves. Lord, we ask for divine help. Lord, as we wait on you, the scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. The scripture said, those who wait for you, they shall not make haste. Lord, we have consecrated this month to wait upon you. Lord, may we find you. Lord, may we find you. Oluwai Bawakpade. Lord, meet with us. Lord, meet with us. Lord, meet with us in such a way that that which you will do in us will be irreversible. Lord, as we wait upon you, cause us to scale new heights. We come against the spirit of laziness. We come against the spirit of sickness. We come against the spirit of despair. Lord, we come against every spirit assigned to abort this season for us. And we receive grace to be strong in the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we trust you because your word is true. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. We will also return in the power of the Spirit. We will return in the power of the Spirit. The power for signs and wonders. The power to do unimaginable things. The power to speak to mountains and to see them crumble. The power to become brand new persons. The power to be transformed. The power to live above our needs. The power to have all things in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we thank you, for this is the confidence we have in you, that whenever we call upon you, you always hear us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So today, we declare the atmosphere is open for breaking forth. Amen.